This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolle.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. How young do you start financial planning for kids and how do you get your kids involved in the process? Berkel is Malaysia's first parental controlled nurturing solution, teaching responsible spending and consumption habits, and has recently joined Endeavour's Scale Up Entrepreneurs family. I'm here, the founder, Gokula Krishnan Subramaniam. So good morning, Gokula.
Good morning, Frida. Thank you for having me here.
So the question is, aren't there plenty of these tools around already?
Yes. So if you look at, so Workle is a cashless nurturing app. So basically, what we are in essence is we are the first actually family wallet to operate under the electronic money regulations in the country. So it allows a single parent to digitally manage allowances and pocket money of multiple kids from a single app. So there are a lot of financial services apps out there. They are predominantly catered for the needs of adults. So what we're doing is we've built the first that focuses on the needs of kids by right. putting the control on parents.
Okay, so can both parents have access?
Currently, there's one parent who manages the kids, but we are looking at how to make this accessible to both parents. Similar to, because underlying in a wallet is a bank account, right? So like today, you can't have two people operating a single bank account because you need to know where the source of funds is. But we do have ways to address how a second parent can manage different aspects of the kids' service, like their savings and missions and behavior development, gamification, and so on. So that's something that we will introduce later on.
Right. So one parent, multiple kids.
One parent, multiple kids, multiple cards.
Right. Yeah. So who in your household is managing the kids?
So currently, my wife decides I execute.
Okay, because you can say I'm doing this for work, right? It's all for research, right? So now also on your website, it says Verkle enables parents to safely introduce children to the world of contactless payments. So what do you mean by safely and how is it not safe now? I've got an 18-year-old. I think it's maybe too late. So you've got younger kids. But yeah, tell me.
Okay, so let's look at the whole topic of financial literacy, right? Malaysia isn't faring that great. If you look at the recent numbers, especially made worse by the pandemic, almost 18% of Malaysian adults have no savings beyond 3 months. Right. Now, nobody teaches us about financial prudence early on. Usually the first lessons we learn is a hard knock, mostly after we get our first credit card and overspend it. So we're trying to solve that in a very young age. Now, the reality is this: our kids are born in a world that we call digital natives. They're digital natives. But today, nobody talks so much about digital natives because it's given. There are digital devices, kids use them, and so on. Now, if you look at the world in the last few years, we're moving towards a cashless native world, right? But the reality is cashless is still a topic that's predominantly for adults over 18, right? Regulations, banking, and financial literacy has not caught up to the needs of kids. So you have digital native kids who are experiencing money in the virtual world, whether it's through Roblox or Fortnite bucks and so on. They're experiencing, but they're not learning. So the idea of Verkle is by giving kids a sort of safe banking, digital banking platform with parents in control of it. Now, parents can use that to teach them different skills, responsible spending, budgeting, and also to the digital savings module to save their allowances, and also gamification so kids can do chores and earn rewards and so on and so forth. So we bring all of these into a single sort of suite of tools for parents, mm-hmm. and they can manage the whole family from there.
Right. Actually, why the name Verkle?
So Verkle actually stands for Visible Circle. So it's about creating a circle of trust around a child. So, as parents, what's the most important thing in our lives with our kids, right? So how do we build a safe bubble around our kids and teach them how to safely, make digital payments, not overspend, don't get cheated financially, and learn all those critical skills where they can afford to make mistakes, but it doesn't cost a lot to make these mistakes because the parents are in control. Because once you're 18, you're on your own bank account, your own debit cards, your own, you know, whatever. And, you know, we've even spoken to universities who told us, hey, you know, we've seen rich kids go starving after 3 weeks because they've finished all the allowances without budgeting and they have no food to eat, no money to buy food, right? And because nobody taught them to budget when you get your money.
Right. And it's good parenting not to give them so they will understand the meaning of starvation.
No, actually, parenting is not all about control. Parenting needs to be a two-way street, right? You need to give some trust and tell your kids, okay, I'm going to trust you with this allowance. If you responsibly use it in the whole month, then fine, you continue to keep the trust. But if you start misusing your allowance, I'm going to take back some trust and I'm going to tell you, okay, you're going to spend 100 ringgit on food this month, 50 ringgit on transport this month, and that's it. I will make the decision for you if you can't make it yourself. You see?
Okay. So how young would a kid not appreciate what you've done right now? I mean, you know, when will they sort of get what you're trying to do right now? How young is the entry level for kids?
I mean, today, so Verkle today operates predominantly as a cashless cool platform. So because it took us a long time to get, you know, approvals to do what we want to do, being a pioneer in the space, we launched in August last year, predominantly helping schools become fully cashless in a safe way. You can't make too many mistakes, you know, contactless in schools. Now, in schools, we have kids as young as 5 years old tapping and paying using their card. And they understand when their card, when they don't have allowances, they can call up their parents. Parents can give them instant allowances and so on. Now, of course, now we have a lot of data, a lot of feedback from parents. Then later on this year, we will start opening up to all parents outside the schools that Verkle operates in, and also for kids to have allowances that work anywhere and everywhere. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I was doing some research, right, on your LinkedIn profile, right? Verkle was initially designed as a cashless school and a peer-to-peer subsidy solution with a provider entitles beneficiary with consumption entitlements such as cash value, specific items such as healthy food and groceries based on digital entitlements, and the actual cashless payment takes place in the background when the actual consumption happens. At the same time, giving providers the visibility of consumption. Is that still the mandate? I mean, basically what you've just summarized. Or has that changed in any way?
So we are more focused on kids and families right now.
Right.
We selectively use Verkle to run social aid programs. So we ran a six-month program with a marginalized community in Klang Valley, mostly single moms who come from troubled family backgrounds. The challenge with these troubled background is when you give them cash, like, you know, Bantuan Suriruma and so on, their spouses abuse them or they abuse the kids to get the cash to do whatever not, right? There is no benefits that go to the wife and the kids. So we used Verkle because Verkle is not just a cash allowance platform. We can control disbursement of anything. So we ran this trial where these moms just tap their cards to pick up groceries. So there are very specific groceries they can get from the neighborhood shop. And whenever they pick up these groceries, the money gets paid directly from the provider's wallet straight to the shop. So you can't misuse it. You can't go there and say, I want cigarettes or alcohol or stuff. It already says when you tap the cards, oh, you've got 10 kilos of rice, you know, 3 eggs, 2 kilos of oil. And now they get real tangible products. They just take back home and they can cook real food for the kids. Yeah. So this is something that we are passionate about. But again, the reality is, you know, it's a very different domain that needs equal amount of investments to our core domain, which is kids and parents.
Right. And that's very powerful, right? Because when you're talking about if you get physical cash and you're in an abusive relationship, you have no control. Right now, I don't have the cash at me. It's only that. And it only allows me to buy these things. So right. You know that they actually, you're giving them the control back. You know, so also earlier on, you were talking about... you also want to ensure children are eating healthily. So is now that kids are not physically going to school, that affect the rate of adoption of the app?
Yes, it does. So COVID has been a double-edged sword for us. On one, schools are shut, so kids don't transact in schools. But two, there is a greater understanding for a lot of the top schools that, you know, it's time to get out of cash because, you know, the virus can sit on cash in our weather for up to 21 days. So more and more schools have reached out to us wanting to go cashless. So since last August, we have signed up and integrated over 20 schools when we thought we would just do maybe 10. We've got 20 and we have another 20 plus on the pipeline coming up. We are speaking to the government to bring this to the government sector. So it's two ways. On one end, we can't wait for schools to open, hopefully in a safe way for our kids, because I'm a parent of two kids. But secondly, I think it's also an awakening that, you know, the adults are going cashless for various reasons. Kids need to go. And because regulations have not caught up for kids to safely transact, I mean, no parent today would want to give their child a bank debit card linked to an open bank account. So the beauty about Virkl is the parent might have $1,000 in their wallet. The kid's card can never access that money. The kid can only access allowances approved for them to spend.
Yes, yeah. I totally agree.
So in this case, it becomes child safe, right?
Right.
So parents can say, okay, you know what? I might have $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 in my wallet, but you're going to spend $400 the next month. Then suddenly the kid comes back and says, hey, you know what? The school needs me to pay a $500 bill. Now the parent might be worried that, oh, if I give you $500 tomorrow, you might buy nasi lemak for all your classmates in the morning, right? So parents actually can say, okay, you know what? Tomorrow you still get your 10 ringgit or 5 ringgit canteen pocket money, but you're going to have a 500 ringgit allowance that you can spend only in the school payment store.
Right. Okay, so it's actually controlled. Okay. I'm here with Gokula Krishnasubramanian from Virkl. We'll continue our chat after this. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Bring forth Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm speaking to Gokula Krishnasubramanian, founder of Virkl, which is Malaysia's first parental controlled nurturing solution. And of course, you know, you were talking earlier on about how there is greater control right now in terms of how kids are spending money, and it's through the power of technology right now. And because of the pandemic, although things have slowed down in schools, but also schools realize the importance of going cashless. How many downloads of the app have you gotten to date, though?
So today we don't officially publish the active user base, but I think you can get those statistics off the App Store. But what we do believe is a big bulk of the onboarding will happen as soon as they announce when schools are going to open.
Right.
So let's just wait till that happens. And of course, end of this year, it'll be a very different story, because that's when we officially open up Virkl to every parent in the country.
Right. Okay. So that's how long did it take for you to develop this app?
It took us almost 18 months to get it right. Okay. Not just the development aspect, getting the regulatory approvals
right.
to do it. Because you know, when you do something that's new, and this is something we underestimated, we thought, okay, you know, you could come up with an innovative idea and people will just say yes. Now, when you come up with an idea and you say, hey, you know what, I'm going to let multiple people consume off one wallet, then it opens up a whole lot of different security concerns from regulators that we had to address and make sure it was rock solid before we could launch. So almost 1.5 years. And if you look at the time we spent before conceptualizing the idea and ideation, maybe easily 2 years.
Right. So there were many iterations, and depending on what was allowed and not allowed, right? Are you looking for funding?
So we, as a startup, you're always fundraising, right?
Right.
So we did just recently close an institution round earlier this year, and we would be going into our seed funding round very soon. We've got a lot of interest from a lot of venture caps, and we are speaking to a lot of them, both in country and outside the country.
Right. Okay. So I was going to ask you how you're getting schools involved in the adoption. I think the conversation is probably a lot easier right now. Here, this is the pandemic. This is what can happen to you, right? And of course, you know, so you were saying it's a double-edged sword. Now, what actually is your business model?
So today, with schools, we make it very simple. It's a transactional model, like any wallet that's out there. It's very lightweight. And so once you have the point of sales devices, connectivity, and that's it. So we can stand up a school as quick as 3 days to a larger school as quick as 2 weeks. So when we speak to schools, initially they think, you know what, this is like just another wallet. You know, there's so many card, there's like another card-based wallet out there and all that. But then when they look at the demo, they look at how we do parental controls and how we meet all the different SOP requirements that a school look forward to, then it's really a no-brainer. So we've not really pitched to a school and they come back to us and say, yeah, but this is not so great. We have something better. So every time we've spoken to a school, they've loved it. It's a matter of whether this is something they want to do or they don't want to do. And if they want to do it, we close it very, very quickly.
Right. So, sorry, where is the money? Where is the money for you guys?
It's transactional fees.
Okay, transactional. So the percent, okay, something comes out of every transaction kind of thing, right?
Yes.
And, you know, when do you expect to see, you know, when do you expect to get your ROI back?
So the thing about startups is you decide whether you're happy with what you have or you want to continuously scale. Now, we can run our cash to school business and a very lean, low cost and turn profitable in the next 12 to 18 months if we want to. But the reality is we want to build a real digital bank for kids, not in Malaysia and Southeast Asia. That means that we will be continuously investing and growing, both in terms of what we do from an R&D perspective and also scaling outside of Malaysia to other neighboring countries. So it becomes truly an Asian startup versus just a purely a Malaysian startup.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right. You can see it's a use around the world as well, right? Speaking of scale up, you're part of the scale up program with Endeavor, right? Why have you chosen to participate? And, you know, where are the areas you're looking at to scale up in that sense?
Okay, so Endeavor is very interesting. It's an organization with a mission that's very close to my heart. So I was one of those that had a very successful corporate career before this. I came up the corporate ladder very quick. Of course, hard work was key to that, but also because it was possible because I was surrounded by a lot of right mentors who could guide, challenge, and shape my growth. Now, entrepreneurship, on the other hand, is a very lonely journey. Right? Unless you're a founder, you will never understand the stress, anxiety that other founders have. So in the entrepreneurship journey, we typically, as founders, we look for a few things, right? Straight out of the mind, I mean, we touch one of it, access to capital. We are always fundraising. You hear a lot of good stuff out there. Though what you don't hear is how difficult it is. So for example, for us to do our pre-seed fundraise, we spoke to over 70 investors to get one to trust us, right? Then you have access to markets, partnerships to grow and scale, access to talents because you want to build a world-class organization, and access to know-how. This is where Endeavor plays a crucial role, right? Here you have a pool of talented global CEOs, startup founders who have built unicorns coming together to pay it forward. They benefited from help from others who helped them through their journey. If you take Malaysia, for example, you have people like Afzal who've transformed Time into a multi-billion dollar business, to Eric Cheng who gave us our first unicorn. These Endeavor entrepreneurs have been there, done that, secured help from other people along their journey. Now they're paying it forward to help people like us scale up. So for me, Endeavor was just on the right time, right place for us because we've validated the product. We have got very good feedback from our parents, our schools. We know what we want to do. Now it's about hyperscaling. Now, growing a company like every other company, maybe 10% growth every year, is very different than hyperscaling, growing at 50%, 100% year on year. Now, these are things corporates don't teach us, right? When you have these few mentors to call up, and you can validate stuff. They can tell you, okay, what's worked for me, what's not worked for me. Okay, you want to go to Thailand, you want to go to Indonesia, beware of this, beware of that, speak to these people. So, Verkel is not one of those startups that, I don't come from a rich background, no rich backers. When I started Verkle, nobody believed that, you know, anyone, any parent will have a digital bank for kids. So we invested every dime we had in our life savings. Now, to start up in the fourth series and with kids and to invest everything you had, eventually realizing it's not enough. So you sell assets, you sell your car, because you need to cross these certain milestones before a venture cap will come and you know and back you up. So along the way, you know, it's a lot of people don't hear the pain, sorrows, the quiet cries that entrepreneurs have. They only hear the fancy stuff that you see on media, right? So Endeavor is really for me a path to actually sort of open up to other successful people to understand, okay, what are the challenges you've had? I'm seeing this challenge. How do you think I should go about it? It's a sounding board with people who've been there, done that, and now are openly helping us. I cannot think, and you know, they don't expect anything in return, you know, or fees or money. It's purely, and I feel it's now my responsibility as an entrepreneur to take this and help the next generation of entrepreneurs wherever they need help.
Right. So it's your, then in the future, when you've succeeded, you know, then it's your turn to pay it forward. And I think the beauty of it is also you have access to not just mentors in this part of the world, but mentors in the global scale, right? And that access to markets as well. It's so interesting. So right now, are you the sole founder? Do you have co-founders? And how big is the team?
So it's me and my co-founder, Parish, Parish Khetani. We have a fairly diverse team of 15. We are growing every month. So sometimes when people ask me how many people you have, I have to stop and count. So we are hiring in every areas, product, engineering, especially operations. So yeah, I would expect by end of this year, we might be double the size of what we are today.
Right. So, and I guess it's local talent at the moment, or are you getting talent from all over? Because you basically can work virtually.
Yeah, so today everyone, I mean, we have a global base, even in Malaysia. My co-founder is British, my head of operations is Australian, the rest are Malaysians. So for me, I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you want to build a world-class startup, you need to be open to having global talent. It doesn't mean Malaysians don't stack up, but the thinking, and my personal experience is I spent a bulk of my corporate life abroad. Right, it opens you up to different types of thinking and experiences. So having a global talent pool really brings different flavors to the success of a startup. So this is also a message back to, you know, the government, the regulators, because it's really hard to get global talent in the country, the process, the visa, and so on. So for us, you know, if we want to make Malaysia a hotbed for startups, we need to embrace this culture of having global talent and then supplementing it with local talent that we can train to think globally, right? Act locally, think globally, right?
True diversity and inclusion, yes. Right?
Yeah, so it's nationality, gender, everything.
Right. Thanks for spending time explaining what it is, Verkle. I've been speaking to Gokula Krishnasubramanian for Verkle. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.